Today's reading lesson comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 1. Exodus, chapter 1. All right, everybody find the book of Exodus? All right, that's Genesis, Exodus, all right. Okay, all right. Hear now these words. These are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. Each with his own household. Reuben, Simeon, Levi and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. The total number of people born to Jacob was 70. Joseph was already in Egypt. Then Joseph died and all his brothers and that whole generation. But the Israelites were fruitful and prolific. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now a new king arose over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, for they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies, and fight against us, and escape from the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites, and made their lives bitter with harsh service and mortar and brick and every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them in the birth stool, if it's a boy, kill him, but if it's a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this? Allow the boys to live." The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth when the midwives come to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born of the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could not hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, and plastered with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maids to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning for this Mother's Day, I want to look at the life of Moses. It's kind of ironic how Last Sunday, I started off the lesson talking about how Moses had died and Joshua was taking over. And here in this lesson, by the way, the calendar worked. This lesson is about the birth of Moses. And specifically, I want to talk about the various women who their acts of courage and acts of mercy changed the course of history. Now, the story begins with a little background talking about how Joseph, you may recall, was the grandson of Abraham and had some dreams, some visions about being a powerful ruler, and he made a mistake of telling his brothers and kind of bragged about it. And his brothers got tired of this and sold him into slavery. And he got sent down to Egypt. And in Egypt, he got bought by a guy named Potiphar. He was something like the Secretary of Defense. And Joseph became very powerful in Potiphar's household, the chief butler. Unfortunately, Joseph was good looking. And Potiphar's wife wanted to have an affair with him. And Joseph refused. And so the wife accused Joseph of sexual misconduct. And the result was, Potiphar didn't really believe this. But no, he had to do something for his wife. And so he threw Joseph in the jailhouse. And yet God was with Joseph. And next thing he knew, he was the number one trustee in the jailhouse. He's running the jail. And he helped give advice to some of the prisoners. Then later on, the Pharaoh at that time had these nightmares and needed someone to interpret them. And one of his servants said, Pharaoh, I don't want to bring this up, but there was a time when you were mad at me and you put me in the jailhouse. When I was in the jailhouse, there was this Jewish guy named Joseph, and he had the ability to interpret dreams. And so they summoned Joseph. And I'm sure that was an interesting sight. Here's Joseph talking to Pharaoh. And over here in the corner was Potiphar and his wife listening in. And Joseph told Pharaoh, Pharaoh, God has revealed to you the future. You got 7 good years coming up. And then after that, be 7 years of famine. You need to appoint someone to help store up food for those 7 bad years. And thus, Joseph ended up being the vice president of Egypt, the vice pharaoh. And during that time, his brothers came in, and his father, Jacob, Israel, and they settled down. But then Joseph died, and his brothers died. And a new pharaoh arose who did not know Joseph, had no sense of obligation of, this was the man who saved Egypt culture. And he looked out and saw the Israelites and how mean they were. He came afraid. You know, we got to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to act out of fear. I remember back in the 1940s how Uncle Sam rounded up all the Japanese citizens and put them in Alaska out of fear. Or here in Tennessee back in the 1830s how the Cherokee Indians were taken up and moved out of fear. The same thing was going on here. The Pharaoh was very disturbed about having all these Jewish people in Egypt. And so what did he do? He enslaved them and made them build his cities. But God's blessing was on his people. They kept growing, multiplying. And then Pharaoh said, we got a troubled situation on our hands. These people might revolt against us and fight against us. Well, yeah, that's what slaves do. They eventually revolt and fight, you know. Again, in our own history, we've seen that where slave masters were scared that their slave might revolt in the middle of the night. Well, that's why you shouldn't have slaves. And so the king of Egypt has a plan. He calls in these two midwives, Shipra and Puah. I have a job for you. Now, when you go and help the Hebrew ladies give birth, if it's a girl, let the girl live. If it was a baby boy, kill him. Now, what would you do? Most powerful man on the planet, tell you to commit a terrible crime like that? How'd you respond? How would you respond if at work your boss said, I need you to come in late tonight and we're going to cook the books and change the figures up a little bit, make them look better than what they are? Or the boss man says, I want you to stay late at the car shop here and we want to roll back to the odometer on these vehicles, get rid of the mileage. Now, what would you do if your employer had you do something shady or immoral? Well, these ladies, they're pretty clever. They didn't tell Pharaoh yes, but they didn't say no either. What they did was, they just didn't do anything. And so Pharaoh hears about all these baby boys being born, and he calls them in and says, what's going on with this? I told you to kill these baby boys being born. And they told this little white lie, okay? They said, well, Pharaoh, you see, you're Egyptian, but these Jewish ladies, they're stronger than these Egyptian ladies. Jewish ladies, we get there and it's too late. The baby's done been born. There he is, you know. We can't do anything about it. And Pharaoh, if he's like me, he didn't know anything about childbirth anyway, you know. I'm sure you remember that famous quote from Gone with the Wind about, I don't know nothing about birthing no babies, right? That's how Pharaoh was. And like, well, okay, you know. Apparently plan A didn't work. So we'll go with plan B. What's plan B? Well, it's even worse. Every male child will be tossed into the Nile. This way they'll either drown or the crocodiles get them. Uh-oh. What am I going to do now? No, and I remember a few months ago, the youth and a lot of us went down and to the movie theater and we saw a movie called Prince of Egypt. And that was the setting of the beginning of the movie of the soldiers grabbing these little baby boys and throwing them in the Nile River. But we have another lady, a Levi woman. She had a baby and she hid this baby for 3 months. I don't know how she pulled that off. You think all the noise little baby makes, but she kept that baby hid for 3 months. But then he got too big, too noisy. And so she took a basket and put the baby in the basket and sent him on the Nile River. That was like saying, Lord, he's in your hands. I don't know what else to do. Think about the courage it would take for a mother to put your baby in the Hawassi River, the Chestui Creek, Ball Rivers, and say, Lord, he's in your hands. What's going to happen? Well, she turns him loose, and Big Sister is following along behind him. Here's another lady, Big Sister. See what happens. And of course, in the movie, saw her, the basket flows down the Nile River and such. And some of you older folks, you've seen the movie called The Ten Commandments. And what you may not know is that in that movie, that baby Moses was played by a guy named Fraser Heston, the newborn baby of Mr. Charlton Heston, who played Moses. Yeah, that was his first movie appearance. You know. And so here's baby, this little baby with no name, just flowing down. And then it seemed like he ended up in the wrong spot. Who finds him? Who sees that basket? The daughter of Pharaoh. The very man who said, take all these Jewish babies, throw them in the river. It's his daughter. Now, while we go through your mind, you think, oh, Lord, we messed up. This won't be pretty. So she sees a basket in the reeds, and she tells her maids, where's that basket? No, she's curious. What's in that basket, you know? I remember back around Christmas time, I think we might have been Clint. We found that little suitcase out here. Remember that? And I got all excited. I thought mine had some money in it. And I took it home and broke into it and didn't have anything. And I was so disappointed. She opens up this basket, and what does she find? When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. Then listen to this. This must be one of the Hebrews' children, she said. So she knew this baby was not Egyptian. This baby didn't have the same skin tone necessarily, the same DNA. This was not a baby with royal blood flowing through his veins. This was a child of slaves. But she felt pity. Here is this powerful woman whose dad has just said kill all these baby males, and she finds one and it touches her heart and she has pity on him. What could have been a total disaster was God's opening for a blessing. And then what happens next? Big sister Miriam comes out and says, "Shall I go get a nurse for you from the Hebrew children, nurse a child for you?" And I'm kind of curious now that Pharaoh's daughter connected dots. I think, well, that's kind of convenient. But she says, yes. And so here's the irony. She pays Moses' mother to take care of Moses, right? Okay. I mean, that's like paid maternity leave, isn't it? Now, wouldn't it be nice when you had your babies, Uncle Sam wrote you a check, said, here's a check to take care of your child. What a wild concept. And so, Pharaoh's daughter puts Moses' mother on the payroll and pays her to take care of this baby till he's of age. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. She took him as her son. Okay. Now, and depending on how he interpreted it, the one we saw in the Prince of Egypt, she had a son named Ramses. In the Ten Commandments movie, that particular lady was childless. And so that was her only son. And she gave him an Egyptian name. This name is not Hebrew, it's Egyptian. Moses. They have the word Ramses, Moses. They're very similar. Why? It's Egyptian for, I drew him out of the water. And of course, Moses ended up being the mighty prophet of God who led his people out of slavery, received the Ten Commandments, led them through the wilderness for 40 years, teaching them God's laws and decrees, and then built them the edge of the promised land. But guess what? All the great things Moses never did wouldn't happen were it not for the courage and compassion of these ladies. You have Shiphrah and Puah, the two Hebrew midwives who held on to their morals and said to themselves, we will not engage in the act of evil. We will not destroy life. And when Pharaoh questioned them, they told a little white lie for a greater truth and used that conniving, cunning to do that. When Pharaoh goes to plan B and says, but every male child in the Nile River, this mother very cunningly hides her child for 3 months. And then in an act of courage, puts that child in the basket onto the water to see what happens. You have the big sister, Miriam, who's followed this basket. And she has the courage to go up to the daughter of the Pharaoh and say, do you need someone to take care of this baby? I know someone. And then you have Pharaoh's daughter who opens his basket, sees the baby, and realizes it's a Hebrew child, a child of slaves, and says, none of that matters. I see a precious little baby here and have felt pity for that baby. And I admit, I never thought about that before until I was watching that movie this last go around, and I was watching it. Got to think about my little nephew. Okay, he has a birth mother, and he has a mother. And that's what happened to Moses. Pharaoh's daughter was his mother, the one that raised him up. But he also had a Hebrew birth mother that gave birth to him and took care of him the first 2 years. And you can't do a mathematical formula and say who was more important. They all were. Because if any one of these individuals had failed to act out of courage or compassion, there had been no Moses. He had just been one nameless child who died in cruelty by the Pharaoh. And so on this Mother's Day, I want to encourage all you ladies, you know, what's God up to in your life? What's the act of courage or compassion you could be doing? These ladies didn't know each other, but yet together, they set forth a chain of events that led to this little child being rescued, and he grew up into the mighty prophet that we know as Moses. Thanks be to God. Amen.